In Washington today, in the shadow of the U.S. Capitol, thousands of Muslims filled the hillside. They had come by the busload with one goal, to show how peaceful Muslim prayers can be. NPR's Jamie Tarabay was there.
The front lawn of the Capitol slowly filled with men in robes, long shirts, pinstripe suits, and different colored prayer caps. Women wore sequined headscarves, some wore all black, and some didn't cover their heads at all. They all faced east to pray.
It happens to be a fortunate coincidence that the direction of Mecca, where we are going to pray, is just immediately facing the Capitol in the background.
Ali Abdulaziz arrived on a bus from central New Jersey, along with 50 other people from his local mosque. He's one of the organizers of today's prayer. The 74-year-old retired accountant said planning began soon after President Barack Obama's speech to the Muslim world this spring.
He's the first president talking about getting people together. The objective, again, to serve humanity.
Across the lawn, people bent in the grass to wash their feet, performing their ablutions before praying. Police watched the entrance, while outside, a few anti-Muslim protesters handed out pamphlets. Physician Nassim Habib of Virginia came with his wife and 2-year-old daughter. He said the prayer and the protests were evidence of freedoms he never enjoyed before he immigrated.
Well, I think in America, the minorities are treated better than minorities in any other country. And I can tell you from a Bangladesh perspective, from an English perspective, living in America, and I've traveled in other parts of the world.
Organizers had hoped for 50,000 to come, but the attendance fell far short of that. For Donna Henry, who came from New York, that didn't matter.
It's okay to be Muslim and gather together and pray with your friends and family and be public about it and, you know, wear a head tie if you're a woman, and it's not a bad thing.
At 1 p.m., the men stood in rows to the left while the women went to the right, and they all bowed their heads to the ground in prayer. Jamie Tarabay, NPR News, Washington.
All this week, many Orthodox Jews have been performing the ancient ritual of kaparot. The custom involves waving or swinging a live chicken above your head 3 times. It's been getting more popular in recent years, but it's also divided the Orthodox Jewish community. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
Rabbi Shia Hecht plucks a chicken off a truck parked behind a synagogue in Queens, New York, and demonstrates how to swing a chicken.
You just take it by the wings. You put one wing over the other wing, and it's very relaxed. And then you just swing it very softly over your head like this. Zeh kalifasi, zeh tumarasi.
The rabbi prays that his sins will be transferred to the bird, and he will escape the divine punishment that he deserves. The prayer is more than 1,000 years old, and countless Orthodox Jews will recite it in the days before Yom Kippur on Sunday, the Jewish Day of Atonement. Heck says waving the chicken is not the point of this ritual.
The main part of the service is handing the chicken to the slaughterer and watching that chicken be slaughtered. Because that is where you have an emotional moment where you say, oops, you know what? That could have been me.
David Rosenfeld has a different message.
For us, please use money, not chickens.
On this night, he and his friend Sam Schloss have set up a table next to a kosher bakery in Brooklyn. They have pamphlets and a cage of fake chickens, which causes some confusion.
How much is for chickens this year?
No. We want people to use money. We think it's very bad, very cruel to the chickens.
Yes.
So we're trying to get people to not buy the chickens at all, but just use money instead.
Waving money around her head, Rosenfeld tells her, is just as religiously acceptable as waving a live bird. It's not easy undoing a millennium of tradition, one chicken at a time, and it's lonely. As an Orthodox Jew, Rosenfeld knows he's at odds with his friends at synagogue.
It is kind of a double world for me because I love all these people that I'm with, and I'm part of the world. I'm wearing yarmulke, I'm with them, you know, they're wonderful people. But I disagree with them on this point.
And so each year he and Schloss, who is also Orthodox, search out kaparot sites in Brooklyn.
Yep, that's a sign right there. And there's going to be another one coming up, I think. I see it.
Schloss points to a small blue and white poster with a chicken on it. For years he's been covering up these posters with his own, showing filthy and starving chickens in crates. One year he found a garage full of chickens that had been abandoned after Yom Kippur.
They were emaciated chickens mixed with dead chickens. There was no food, there was no water, it was hot during the day, cold at night, there was rain. It was just a torturous thing for these animals to go through.
The police arrested the organizer for animal cruelty. The city has fined others for leaving public places looking like a slaughterhouse, with blood and dead chickens all over the site. Finally, we find a small operation in Borough Park.
Two wings.
There are maybe 100 chickens. The man running the site eases a bird from its crate and hands it to a customer. She waves it 3 times over her head. The operator says he trucks in these chickens for the week and makes a small profit. He's clearly nervous. He won't give his name. And he complains the sacred ritual has been unfairly tainted by a few rotten apples.
It's very easy for people to condemn the Jewish people, but you can stand here now for the next few hours and you watch how I hold the chicken. I am careful. I hold the chicken with 2 wings.
He says if you grab it by one wing, the wing could break. That would cause the chicken pain and it would no longer be kosher. He shows me a bag of bread soaked in water. He gives that to the chickens so they don't get hungry or thirsty.
This is probably the best one that I've seen.
Chicken advocate Sam Schloss is pleasantly surprised.
I mean, by no means, it's not the best thing for the chickens, and you can hear that in their voices, but it's as best as I think we're going to get.
Schloss hopes his efforts and the bad publicity have forced changes like these, but he doubts the practice will ever be outlawed. And that's just as it should be, says Rabbi Shia Hecht.
What I've told my local police department and my local government, I'm an American. We have freedom of religion.
That may be why anti-cruelty groups like the ASPCA declined to talk for this story. Instead, it issued a statement saying that it opposes any practice in which animals are made to suffer in the name of religion or tradition. But for many Orthodox Jews, the problem with Kaparot is not about animal rights or even the law. It's about religious interpretation, and it's dividing Orthodox rabbis themselves. Rabbi Shlomo Siegel of Brooklyn says he values Jewish tradition enormously, except when it collides with the fundamental principles of the Torah.
The Torah prohibits Jews from causing any unnecessary pain to living creatures, even psychological pain.
Siegel is among the Orthodox rabbis urging believers to use money instead of live animals, but that makes for thin spiritual experience, counters Rabbi Hecht. He says there's something visceral and sacred about holding a live animal in your hands just before it dies for your sins.
I know, and I can speak for myself, my family members, and thousands of people within my community who say that this kaparot service has moved them and has given them a realization that, hey, I have to make changes. I have to improve myself.
And Rabbi Hecht is ready to help them. The sidewalk in front of his yeshiva will be packed with believers. It will be loud. It will be bloody. And 4,000 chickens will pay the price of atonement. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.